Hi there, and welcome to Open Mic here on Moorhead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Leanne Akers, and today we're visiting with the mayor of Moorhead, Laura White Brown. Laura, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
There is a lot going on this weekend. The restrictions are lifting within the state from the pandemic. There are some activities planned. First things first, I want to talk about it's the splash pad is now open to the public, which I feel like we've been waiting on this for 4 years, but I know it hasn't been quite that long, but we haven't got to utilize it as a community as much as we had hoped. So this will be the first full summer that it is in operation, correct?
Yes, that is correct. It has been a team effort across the board, with all city departments being involved, as well as the Tourism Commission, the Plant Board, the county. Everyone has really put in the work to make this happen. There were a lot of pieces that needed to be fixed, quite literally. Some of the attractions on the pad itself had never worked from day one. So our departments put a lot of time and effort into making sure that those were up and running, as well as things like water pressure. There's a new fence. We voted to have a fence installed around the area. So that is up. And we've also put out some concessions, and we will have a staff member there full time during the daily hours of operation.
And what are those hours of operation? Because I know that our listeners are going, oh, it's open, I'm going tomorrow.
Yes, it will open at 10 each day and stay open until 6 p.m. And then after 6, people can rent it for birthday parties or private events if they want to.
And this is 7 days a week?
Yes, ma'am. There is no admission to get in, and it is free to the public.
I imagine that it's going to be very crowded just to get started, because people are going to be excited to be out and about. This coming Monday is a holiday, Memorial Day, where we honor those soldiers who passed away while fighting for our country, and the city is planning a parade.
Yeah, this will be the first parade since COVID. The veterans group puts this together each year typically, so they're in charge of that. It will take place Monday starting at 11 a.m. I know for people who are in the parade, they're to start lining up around 9:30, but the parade will come down Main Street as it typically does. So we'd encourage people to be out there. Hopefully the weather's good and have some good fellowship with community again.
As things are beginning to open up more, there are some things that the city is planning for the summer. I know City Park has been pretty busy with softball and baseball happening so far in the spring, but there is going to be a summer camp this year.
There is. We're bringing back the city summer day camp program. So it will be running Monday through Friday, and it starts at age 5. If you would like to sign your child up, it starts, I believe, the second week of June, and you can call the Moorhead Parks and Recreation office. They can answer any questions and have all of the forms for signing up your child as well.
So recently there was a city council meeting a little earlier this month, and the group was able to meet. It was a very long meeting. There was a lot of items on the agenda. So I do want to talk a little bit about that. There is a report for the Downtown Moorhead Redevelopment TIF District, the special board fund. There's been a talk for several years on trying to get a downtown hotel. And it seems like when you're planning stuff like this, there's always executive session. So I'm not able to keep up with it as much as I'd like to. So what's happening with that, and where are we on the project?
The Downtown TIF project started a few years before I came into office. So it's been in the works for a long time now. And the developer, Luckett and Farley, is planning to build a downtown hotel. We actually have a meeting with an update later in June, so I'm looking forward to hear from the developer and see where they're at. But I believe they are in the design phase of this project, so hopefully we'll see some action starting soon.
Mm-hmm. The tourism, conference center, arts center have all been closed for the duration of the pandemic. There's not been a whole lot going on. The groups, the organizations have been running on shoestrings, trying to maybe just have one or two people that have been working, you know, keeping things running, even though there isn't a lot of activity planned. But I know that as restrictions have been eased and things are being planned, they are busy. What did they update about for the city council?
I'm really happy to report that the tourism facilities are open again. So the Round County Arts Center, as well as the Conference Center, they're following guidelines from both the CDC and National Tourism Associations. So some things may look a little different, the way that food is served or some capacity restrictions because it is indoors. But they are really moving well to open those facilities back up to the public. So we're excited. Hopefully we'll see things like weddings and conferences and things that really impact tourism and the economic development of our community start back up again.
I know sometimes with events are planned so far in advance and everyone stopped planning those types of events when the pandemic began. It's kind of weird, even though they're open again, it may be quite some time, months even, before we see activity there.
Absolutely. It's kind of a catch-up game, I feel like. It takes some time to get back into the flow or the new flow, new routine, whatever that may look like. But we're happy to see some things start moving again.
Speaking of moving again, there has been a lot of movement on Main Street for the police 911 facility. The city council got an update about that particular project. I know that a payment's been made. There was a change order. What's happening with that project right now?
The original timeline for the project was that it would be completed in April 2022. I believe they're a month behind, so we're shooting for May, early summer of 2022. So not too far behind schedule, which is reassuring. They are pouring concrete, so if you're in that area right now, you'll notice that. We just ask that the public kind of be aware and work with us, as the street may be a little bit dusty at times, but we do have people out there trying to maintain and keep it clean and not disrupt the flow of traffic as much as well. But soon we should see walls start going up. That's what they tell me, so I'm excited to see that. The department as a whole has really been working on things like the interior design, the furniture, different equipment that will be in there. And it's kind of amazing, at least from my perspective, to see how early you need to plan things like that. But every piece impacts where things go. So they're putting a lot of time and effort, and I think it will be a really huge asset to our community.
The City Council did consider or pass the second reading of an ordinance that had to do with annexation. And I have the agenda, and it's not really clear exactly where that unincorporated territory is. I assume that they with the Rowan Investment Group. Can you give us a little more information about that?
Yes. The Rowan Investment Group is a group who proposed an annexation on I call it the north end of town. I'm kind of closer to Walmart by the Hallwood area. It's actually the area that used to be Valley View Lumber. So that area is being taken into the city now, and there is a development planned there. They're actually in the beginning phases of presenting that to the Planning Commission. So hopefully we'll see or get some additional information as those proposals start to go into place.
Like a housing development or a shopping development? What kind of things are we?
I believe it's a mixed use development. So I think we might see a little bit of everything, housing, retail, and commercial space.
It's a big project. And so that things like that usually take several years to go into effect.
Right. The really neat part about that development that I find is that it's all local people. And so you know that it's people who are invested here and really care about this community and they live and work here. So they just want to see the benefit for everyone.
Mm-hmm. And on that note, we're going to take a quick break here on Open Mic. We'll be right back after this.
I'm Julie Rose. Join me for a special episode of Top of Mind marking Memorial Day. We'll hear about an effort to write the stories of every single American service member who died in World War II, more than 400,000 in all, and you can help. Also, why do we celebrate those who fight in wars more than those who work to prevent wars? It's Top of Mind.
Memorial Day at 11 a.m. on Morehead State Public Radio.
And we're back here on Open Mic here at Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Leanne Akers, and we're visiting with Laura White Brown, the mayor of Morehead, today. Thanks again for being here.
Thank you for having me.
We're talking a little bit about the meeting that happened earlier this month. A lot of things on the agenda, and one thing that many people have been keeping their eyes on is the Entertainment Destination Center over on Batts and Oates Drive. That street was closed down in the pandemic towards the beginning of the pandemic to allow people to have space to be outside somewhere, not their house, and, bring in some food from maybe one of the restaurants here in town. And it's really grown in popularity, especially as restrictions have been easing. I can't think of a time that I've driven by there, except maybe at 8 o'clock in the morning when there's no one out there on that street. People are utilizing it for classes. Lots of families are out there often. And so a lot of people have been wondering how things are going with that and how things are. I know that it had to go through the state in order to get approval to continue to keep that area closed down and to allow certain things to happen there. So give us a little bit of an update about what's happening with the EDC and how things are progressing for the city.
Right now, our executive order has the street closed until June 30th, so you should see that on our June agenda as well. I expect another vote, I believe at this point we're going to propose to go ahead and close the street permanently. We're kind of waiting until some restrictions got lifted to really see what the guidance was. If there is a positive in COVID, and we try to find that, sometimes it's that it gave us the flexibility to really think outside of the box and create areas like this. So outdoor dining spaces became popular across the country. And that's really how this idea started. It gave us kind of a trial phase for it. If you haven't been out there lately, you may not know that we have some new tables and chairs out there, and we are ordering more. We have ordered more, actually. The space has been so popular, we've run out of seating. So we have additional seating coming out there. We're also working on some lighting and shade options. So my goal from the beginning was to have lights kind of strung across the area. I think it's just very aesthetically pleasing. I've seen other communities do that. And so we finally have a concept of how we think that may work. So you'll see that going up soon. And we know it's really hot on the pavement in the summertime. So looking at some shading options are also kind of on our agenda for the summer in that area.
Now, the City Council has voted to award a contract for a streetscape design for that area. I know that, it's shut down. We put up some barriers, put down some seating. But that does not necessarily mean that's how it's going to stay. So tell us a little bit about who's going to be making a design for the city.
Right. So the City Council voted on Element, and that is the name of the company that will be doing kind of a design concept for us. I haven't worked with this group before, but I'm really excited to see the ideas that they present. So one of the pieces that we were looking for in a group is not just the Batts and Oates Street, but the entire entertainment district as a whole. Someone who can come in and help us put the big picture together. Because when you think about it, there's items like utility. So if we are going to string lights, it's important where we put utility so that it can impact the entire area. So just really a group to help us establish that. We also have to keep so many things in mind, like access for emergency services and things that the average person may not think goes into consideration for projects like this, but it ends up being a really big project.
Now, with this particular group, are there some spaces that our listeners might be familiar with that they designed, or do you know of anything else in Kentucky that they've done?
So we actually had a scoring committee, and I believe we had 5 to 7 different applications from groups, which was a good number. And we put out an RFQ, and Gateway Ad helped us with that. And so this group scored the highest, and the committee was made up of both employees and then also community members as well as council members. And they felt that based on this group's experience, that would benefit the community the most.
Now, looking at some of the other items on the agenda, one thing that's exciting to me personally is a grant agreement between the City of Morehead and the U.S. Department of Transportation for the Triplet Valley Trail Project. I remember when this grant was awarded last year at the beginning of the pandemic, and I was very excited, and then everything stalled because no one knew what was going on. So what is going to be happening with that project, and what can people expect to see moving through the summer months?
That grant agreement and project kind of got put on hold as well during COVID, but I'm happy to say that it is kind of back up and moving again. So this is the trail project that would run from the entrance of the city park down to kind of the Fazoli's area behind 60 is how I look at it. And so the thought process behind this project is to have some sort of paved trail that people could walk from one end of town to the other, but also in a safe manner. And it kind of adds really just a new piece of recreation for the community. So right now they are working with the Highway Administration to make sure that we have everything covered on the safety end of it. And they are also awarding contracts for groups to go ahead and start the construction of that project.
And any idea how long the project is going to take?
I'm not sure.
Right. It's kind of difficult with all these different projects that are happening to keep up with every single start date and end date, I'm sure. Now, the City Council did discuss something that's going to affect every facet of the city, which is the budget for the 21-22 fiscal year starting July 1 of this year. There was amendments to last year's budget. It seems like the City Council had to go over that new amendments almost every month because of different revenue projections, things that were coming in and going out unexpectedly during the pandemic. I assume that the city is kind of expecting a more close to what we used to call normal year for 21-22. But what are some things in next year's budget that are changing?
If you remember when COVID first hit, what we did was we decreased our projected revenues by about 20%. And luckily, it did not hurt us to that extent. So we also cut out all of our capital projects last year, with the exception of the construction of the police department. So this year, what you'll see reflected in the budget is that we've put in most all of those capital projects or purchases that were proposed last year. It's a little bit different in every single department and across the board, but the majority of it is resources that departments need. So for Public Works, for example, they needed some additional equipment and trucks for their services. The police department had some safety equipment. Parks and Recreation had some things like lawnmowers and just upkeep equipment as well. So a really kind of varied difference across the board. That was the most significant change. We do not have any raises currently proposed in our budget this year. If you remember, we had some significant raises December of last year, and we're still undergoing a wage study. And so I did not include any proposed salary changes or increases of wages until we get that information back.
I remember there was some discussion during the planning stages about making sure that the city remained competitive with other employers within the community. And I noticed that there is a lot of job openings across the community, that there are a lot of people with now hiring signs. How is that impacting the city? Is your organization, hiring, looking for additional people? And in what facets is that happening?
We are hiring. We actually have a few different departments with some openings. I believe the police department is hiring for both officers and dispatchers, and the public works department is hiring for laborers and equipment operators also. All of those jobs vary in skill requirements and qualifications as well as pay range, but we would encourage anyone to come down, pick up an application, or talk to department directors if they're interested in that.
I know that there were a lot of people out of work during the pandemic, and having so many options sometimes is a little overwhelming for people as they're looking into restarting careers as the world continues to reopen.
Absolutely.
Some of the budgets, obviously, the city budget, Parks and Rec is part of the main city budget, but then also there was discussion about like the conference center and the tourism budget, and of course that without having a year of revenue in those buildings, did that really impact the plan for next year?
So how it works is usually both with the plant board and the tourism commission, they have boards that put together their budgets and then they send them over for final approval by city council. They also all decreased their projections based on COVID, but all managed okay. I think tourism kind of held their own better than most. The plant board is still evaluating because restrictions as far as late billing and services that they can and can't change because of COVID are still in effect. So I think they're still looking at an end evaluation of how they were impacted.
I know some communities are still getting monies that have been provided by the federal government because of the impact of the pandemic on different communities. Is Morehead expecting any additional funds at this time?
We are expecting a second round of, I believe they're calling it a reimbursement, a safety reimbursement or rescue reimbursement package. We don't know that amount. It has varied from what we've heard it could be. We actually thought we would have it by now, but there were some changes based on the state treasury discretion. So we hope to have that information soon and can kind of plan accordingly. It has a lot of very strict stipulations with it, so I'm not sure what that funding will be able to be spent on, but I do look for that information to come out soon.
And unfortunately, that's all the time we have here on Open Mic. Mayor of Morehead, Laura White Brown, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for tuning in to Open Mic. Our show is produced by Greg Jenkins, and our theme music is Turtle in the Creek, composed by Galen Green and performed by The Wooks. Produced by Morehead State Public Radio with the generous support of listeners just like you. We'll see you next Friday.